verses 1 through 5. This, of course, is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica under the power of the Holy Spirit. And he writes in chapter 3, verse 1, "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance." So here we see Paul, the great missionary of the first century, writing to the believers in Thessalonica and asking them to pray for him. I have the English version of that, but I don't want to get bogged down in that because I really want us to spend some time in prayer. So he gives us a great example here on how to pray for our missionaries, as he says how to pray for them. Pray for protection and pray for safety. Pray against opposition by unreasonable and wicked men. The word unreasonable can be translated in various ways. It can be injurious. He adds wicked to the description to clarify that these men are not merely just well-meaning but sadly misguided. These are men, he speaks of, who are of bad character, who are opposed to what is good. We see that in Acts chapter 17. If you want to turn to Acts chapter 17, give us just a glimpse of what Paul is referring to. He's now in Thessalonica. And it reads in chapter 7, verse 1, "When they passed through the Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead." So he goes on about that. And then in verse 5 he says, "But the Jewish were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace and formed a mob and started a riot in the city." And he essentially ran them out of town. These are the bad characters. So he's saying pray. And that's the way we should be praying for our missionaries. And I think in this time of the Gideons, but also Convoy of Hope, because they are there on those border towns and they're serving the people who are fleeing Ukraine, and we need them to be protected by people of bad character so they can continue to do God's work, bringing supplies that they need in the name of Jesus. And then we see back in 2 Thessalonians that Paul then prays for them. He prays that God would guide them to love God and to be as patient as Christ was and as patient as Christ is with all of us. He says in Romans 15:31, "Join me in my struggle by praying for me." He says something in Colossians chapter 2. Oops, I think I went past it. Colossians chapter 4, in verse 2, he says, "Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message." What a great way to continue to pray for our missionaries. Even Jesus talks about praying. In 2 Corinthians, though, Paul even mentions how he has felt their prayers when he was nearly to death. He thought they were going to die, but by their prayers, they came through. In John 17, though, we hear Jesus' prayer. But first, let me talk about we at this church, who we support. We have had missionaries among the Assembly people in Africa that are translating the Assembly language into a written form and then translating the Bible into the Assembly language. They've been on this journey, I think, for nearly 30 years. Because first they had to take a spoken language and make it into a written language, and then they had to write it down and teach the people how to read. It's quite a journey, but they have gotten a long ways in that task. We've supported people that have gone to China. We used to support Freedom Fellowship in the prison ministry, and then we supported our friend Pat Santa-Stephen, who some of you remember, as he worked in our county jail. We currently support local missions. You guys were here with Ian Hargis from Young Life, who works for the developmentally disabled children through Young Life and young adults. We support the Alpha Center. Jennifer will be here this next Sunday. Many of you might remember Andrew and Annie. They are with Grace Christian Church, and they minister on CSU campus. And they do Bible studies all the time. And they come out of the Grace Christian Church. We supported that ministry for, I think, at least 10 years through all the different couples. And this last couple, yeah, John Washburn, yeah. He was the first one. We support an outfit called Vindicate. A lot of people don't know who Vindicate is, but they provide food for people in need right in Fort Collins. They're on the north end of town. We get a lot of our food in our pantry from Vindicate. And to be a little boastful, we were getting good food from them, and so I talked to the board, and I went and said, can we start contributing to your ministry? And they said, what? You know, people who come here to get food in bulk from us don't ever offer to support us financially. And I said, well, we want to do that because we can do that. God has given us the means, and we appreciate what you're doing. So we support them on a quarterly basis. We support Convoy of Hope, as you guys many know. Brian McLeese was here, and that's the one I'm talking about in helping the people that are on the border towns that are trying to supply whatever is needed to those who are fleeing. Abroad, we also support Rob and Liz Trankman. Many of you met them when they were here last July. They are now in the UK, but they ministered in Hungary for 9 years, and they raised up people. And so now this church is supporting Sabi Bella, who was a native of Hungary, and he's already brought people to the Lord. He's like 19 or 20 years old, and so he is now ministering, taking over what Rob and Liz were doing, and so we're supporting him in Hungary. And, of course, we support the Gideons and the mission work that they are called to do. And my point is we need to diligently pray for all these missions, and it's so supported here in the Word of God. Yeah, I thought I had them written down, but Randy and Kathleen, I talked about them a couple weeks ago. They're in Thailand. You know what? I think I somehow got them left out. But Randy and Kathleen in Thailand, we've been supporting them for 15 years, I think. They built an orphanage, and they're housing children, and now they're building a church that's right by a newer highway that's driven by there, so they can have a church in a very farthest part of Thailand. And that's been a wonderful ministry. So before we go into prayer, I've already taken 10 minutes, let us just quickly go to John 17 and see, to me, one of the richest parts of Scripture that explain praying. And think about this. This is Jesus talking. He starts in verse 1 saying, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and he prayed. Father, the time has come. The hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. And then he jumps in down into verse 6. He said, I've revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them, he says in verse 9. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. And then he goes down, verse 11. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. In verse 13, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. I love that. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. This is one of my most common prayers for all of you and for our missionaries. What do we need? We need to be protected from the evil one. Even Jesus in his prayer said, lead them not into temptation, but deliver them from evil. Protect them from the evil one. That's Jesus praying for his disciples. But then he jumps down into verse 20, and he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. He's praying for all of us right here. I pray for all those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I, you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Here Jesus is saying, pray. And he is praying for us. So, what I want us to do, we've already gone a little long, so we'll just spend a few more minutes. But let us pray for our missionaries. If the Lord puts something on your heart, pray for that. I will kind of start out as I want to pray for the people that are in such turmoil. We've been talking about that some. We need to pray for the Ukrainian people, but we also need to pray for the Russian people. We need to pray for the Polish and the Romanians and the Moldovians. All these areas are being greatly affected by what's going on in the world today. And it's kind of way out of our league to do anything with our own hands and feet. But God says, what is your most powerful weapon? It's prayer. So we're going to pray a little bit. And if you have prayers on your heart, that would be great. So we'll do a little corporate prayer time and just see how God moves amongst us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just want us to really understand that you hear us when we pray. And in our helplessness, we don't know what else to do. And so what we do in our humanness is say, well, the only thing left to do now is pray. Oh, Lord, would you flip that message around for us and say, that's the first thing, the best thing, and in some cases, the only thing. And it's the most powerful weapon I've given you, is direct access to me, to hear your heart. Not to change your mind, Lord, but to hear the pleas of your people and to change our minds, to focus not on what is going on in people, for our battle is not against flesh and blood, but to focus our eyes on you. And so, Lord, I'm just going to start by praying for this whole conflagration that's going on in Eastern Europe. I pray for all the Ukrainian people. I pray for all the Russian people. All these people are suffering in different ways because of this conflict between men against each other. But the people suffer. And so we pray for them, Lord. We pray for those that are trying to help and those that are being really almost invaded by the Ukrainians trying to leave. We pray for the people of Poland, the people of Moldova, the people of Romania, the people of Germany, even those in Hungary. Some are fleeing to the UK. Some are even fleeing right here to the United States, Lord. Oh, how we pray for all those. We pray against that spirit of fear. We pray that they will be looking to you for their salvation, for their direction. We pray for all those that are there, standing there, trying to help, that you will give them all that they need to stand there and help. I know Convoy of Hope has set up stations in a lot of the border towns. They're cooking food. They're bringing them supplies. They're bringing them little personal packets so that they have hygiene and things that they need. The Gideons are there bringing Bibles, Lord. Josiah Venture is there going in and out of the Ukraine. There's 35 or 36 people with Josiah Venture that have been in Ukraine spreading the good news. And they're trying to help people leave as they feel like they must. Lord, we are not taking sides here. This is not a side issue. We only take the side of you, our Lord, against our enemy, the evil one. And we just pray. We pray for these people, Lord, that in this tragedy, you and your glory will be made known. And so now we just turn over to the prayers of the people.